right through me. Don't you understand? Oh, my little... And welcome to Stop the Presses. It's the 27th of May, 2022. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live today. And I'm joined, as usual, by Ron Avery for the video live stream and co-commentary. He's a fellow thought criminal. And the video live stream, of course, goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, / Stop the Presses. And today, we're going to talk a little bit more, quite a bit more, about the reported Uvalde school shooting here in Texas. And there are other aspects I'll mention right now. Somebody's at the door. There are other aspects to this issue that continually need to be sorted out. And among them are, now we have one of the 10-year-old kids is said to have given a testimony, who survived, is said to have given a testimony about what happened. And we're told that it was, you know, blood everywhere and very gory and things like that. The child was reportedly saved by a table that he hid behind, and then he played dead, played possum, as they say. That's the narrative we're given. You know, we have to take these things very carefully. And, of course, many of us have heard, even since Ron and I did a show on Uvalde just this past Wednesday, many of us have heard, and for those who haven't, I'm talking about it now, that the police have been caught pretty much flat-footed in this whole thing. That they waited up to an hour before they went in. And remember, the police, some of the police, chased the alleged assailant, Salvador Ramos, who's said to be dead now, even though initially they said he was in custody. There's another anomaly. Some of the cops chased him there because he was reportedly already wanted for crimes, potentially murder. And so therefore, police were there, and this is unusual in these school shootings. Police were already there as he reportedly entered the building. It's not like the police were not there, and they only got there after they'd been called, and usually that's belatedly, and usually they're only cleaning up the mess, as we're told. So then when more police got there, not only did the initial police who chased him not go in the building, we're told, but as additional police from an alphabet soup of local, state, and federal agencies all arrived at the scene, cops everywhere, hither and yon. They didn't go inside, we're told, and subdue, that is, kill the assailant until the better part of an hour after the alleged assailant went inside. But who the police did apprehend was any parent, grandparent, or interested onlooker or citizen who wanted to go in and try and help what they believed was a school shooting and try and help the kids. So the police, one of the things we're going to talk about today, and Ron is very well versed in this, is what kind of a basic political system do police operate under? Now, of course, we know that you have a lot of underlings. There's a pecking order. A lot of cops are just doing what they're told, and it goes up the chain of command. But the buck has to stop somewhere, right, Ron? And so, therefore, some sergeant or colonel or somebody is in charge, a police chief in a municipal situation, a sheriff in a county situation. The buck stops there, and it goes down the chain of command. But whether you're in the chain of command or you're at the top of the heap, the police have to follow, at least you expect them to follow, the Republican model of government. And what we're seeing, Ron, is that it seems law enforcement, when they go to police school, when they go to criminology classes, whatever they do to become an officer, they're training, they go to the police academy, they're trained in different things. It seems like the only thing they're not taught is the form of government we have. And I'm just going to add one other little epiphany I had, Ron, then you can comment. I'm expecting Pete Pappas, a.k.a. Pete Papaheracles, a longtime fellow AFP writer, to join us by phone, audio-wise, in the second half of the show. I'll announce that now. But my little epiphany was, it's interesting when you look at the international scale and kind of put this in context. All the calls now for gun control, Daniel Weapons, I think that's the brand name. I'll look up the name. Another caveat of this is two of the weapons that the shooter is supposed to have, with taxes included, and Texas sales taxes are over 8%, two of those weapons would be the better part of $4,200 to $4,500. So we're supposed to believe on the 18th birthday of Salvador Ramos, he casually went out and spent well over $4,000 for two guns, and that's not counting ammo or any bells and whistles. That's pretty difficult to believe. Now, I read one account where the local gun store where he's supposed to have bought the firearms do not remember him coming in there. I tried to call the gun store today. It's called Oasis, and nobody answered the phone, which was curious in and of itself, unless they took off early for the holiday weekend. But at any rate, the so-called epiphany I had, Ron, was that we have the full force of firearms and drones and laser-guided bombs in the outward sense that will travel the globe in search of anybody who even smells like a terrorist. They could be at a wedding, they could be at a funeral. If they're in our drone crosshairs, we'll literally blow them off the face of the earth without the slightest hesitation. So the alleged enemies, the alleged adversaries, people that we're told could actually encroach on our freedoms that are far, far away, are blown away without the slightest pretense. We don't have to declare war anymore. Oh, how old-fashioned is that, right? Declaring war, right? How antiquated can you be, right? So there's all that certainty that we will kill the enemies of freedom hither and yon across the world. But when it comes close to home, where tyranny is right in our backyard, property taxes, the federal income tax, the Federal Reserve, shaking us down day in and day out, the treadmill gets faster, the treadmill gets steeper. Tyrants everywhere, as we learned through COVID, city mayors that are globalists, state governors that have globalist leanings. Joe Biden can't find his keister with both hands. But he barks orders about how we need more firearms control, anti-Second Amendment. So the people who are closest to tyranny, who need the most protection against tyranny, are to be disarmed. But we have all the armaments we could ever want projected outward at countries that can never threaten our tyranny like local tyrants can. Name one time a Chinese commissar has kicked in your door. Name one time a Chinese commissar has foreclosed on your house through some banking cartel. Down the line, there is not a single foreign tyrant that can foreclose on one of our homes, kick in a door, steal our children, or disarm us. Now, we know about UN disarmament plans that the U.S. is supposedly party to. That's a problem, okay. But the thing is that everything is flipped on its lid. We're disarmed where we need it most, and we're armed where we need it the least. And so everything is just flipped around. And one thing that we need to keep in mind, and this is the soapbox I usually start my show on, is that whatever happens at these church or school shootings, whatever the exact details are, and they're important to know, we've got to break the chain of these weird events. There's a lot of falsehoods and things being told, but the action is in the reaction, right, Ron? The action is in the reaction, meaning that whatever happens, it's the outcome, it's the goal of these events where we can make a difference. And what I'm saying is, with all the questions swirling around about the police botching this thing, no longer is it going to sound so far-fetched to the average American when we raise those questions and slightly deeper questions. Now everybody can say, you know, Mark and Ron might have a point. Look at what the police did. Look at how they behaved. And if we take it one step further and ask slightly deeper questions, maybe that doesn't look so scary anymore. Maybe that's more palatable. It doesn't seem like a conspiracy theory anymore. We're just Columbo asking questions. Your thoughts, Ron?
Well, yeah. My problem with all of this is that I don't think there's an adequate explanation for any of this outside of what happens immediately after one of these mass shootings. It's instantly talking about alteration of the Second Amendment. It's immediately talking about infringing on the Second Amendment. in other words, violation of another law. They're using these mass media, I mean, these mass shootings as a pretext to violate the law of the land.
Correct.
And see, that's a crime in itself. So it's the second crime. It's the crime, the major crime that is actually being done here is the cry for the abolition of the Second Amendment, to disarm the American people against the law of the land. Now, that's the real crime. And I think it's the only thing that explains this rise and rash of mass shootings. None of this stuff, 18-year-old, I don't care how confused you are. There's nothing to be gained or learned or achieved or won by shooting little children in a school. The only thing that makes sense is who benefits from this. What's the benefit? Who benefited? Who gained anything from the shooting of small children? Well, who gained was those who want to disarm the American people against the law of the land. Those are the only people that gained from it. And that's, to me, it's the only explanation for all of them. And as a result, we need to make laws connecting those who call for a violation of the law of the land as a result of violent crime like this mass shooting. And we need to penalize those people. We actually need to show the connection between those who advocate the alteration of the law of the land to disarm the American people. We need to connect them to the crime itself. And I believe it is already done in the laws of the land in conspiracy laws. Because if you do anything to advance the purpose of a conspiracy to disarm the American people, using the violent act of another, even an unknown other, someone unknown to you. And if you do that, you've become a conspirator, a co-conspirator. And in all actuality, you have become liable for all of the harm done. So I'm actually saying that Joe Biden, the president of the land, he is liable for all the harm done at Robb Elementary School, because he has advocated against the law of the land, the disarmament of the people, using the harm done by this Ramos fellow. Now, that shows that he's in agreement to the end, the purpose of it, which is the disarmament of the American people. He's doing the advocacy for the disarmament against the law. And Ramos actually did the harm by shooting children. Now, this is, see, if we were able to stop this this drive to disarm the American people by using this, that these shootings would stop, I have no doubt. Because what's to be gained from them? Nobody would gain anything. I mean, who gets a big thrill out of shooting children? I can't believe that's possible. I don't think Ramos got any kicks out of that. So it's just now you know there is the occasional complete insane person, but not just rashes of them where they're just one after the other every week. I mean, this has direct bearing. The only explicable thing for this is the contract that we have signed with the UN, that the United States has signed, UN treaty, and I forgot the something to get, for peace. I can't remember the name of it now. Disarmament for peace, or some kind of ridiculous statement.
Right, I know what it is. It's called Freedom from War, General and complete disarmament in a peaceful world, freedom from war. Exactly. State Department document 7277, reportedly adopted in 1961 under the JFK administration, and we cannot find any evidence that the U.S. ever stopped being party to that general agreement.
And that is absolutely unlawful. That agreement should be a rescinded post haste immediately. That is an unlawful treaty on its face. That ought to be just, I'm sorry, UN, we cannot do that. Kiss off. Because it's against the law of our land to do that. And it's cause, I think they're in the pursuit of it, and they're using these things one way or another. They may even be implementing some of them to get this thing passed. They feel like they have to disarm the American people to be on board with this new global thing going on. This needs to stop.
Yeah, the important thing is that, again, while we need to do our sleuth work, our Sherlock Holmes / Columbo work, to ferret out some of the, at least the most obvious falsehoods and shaky, shifty, unbelievable, fantastic sounding statements that we hear coming out of these particular shootings, I'll put quotes around there, it's most fruitful and the best use of our time, ladies and gentlemen, listening live and on the archive, to mostly mitigate against the outcomes. Because that way, no matter if there's fakery involved, no matter whether there's exaggeration involved, regardless of the exact operation, if they can't harvest what they want out of the operation, then the incentive to conduct them goes way down.
Exactly. And that way, at least, we assure ourselves that the government is not involved in it. I mean, if we take away are those who want to disarm us, if we take away the fruit from that, even the potential of fruit from that, then there, at least we'd know the guy, whoever commits the crime, absolutely had to be nuts, because nobody gained anything from it.
Right. At least then we can better diagnose what happened in that sense. Yeah. Again, the Daniel defense weapons, this alleged shooter, Salvador Ramos, just turned 18. What we know about him is actually much sketchier than they're letting on. They act like they've got this convincing biography of him. They do not. And this claim that he shot his grandmother in the face is just hearsay. And I could go down the litany of shaky, unbelievable, and bizarre-sounding claims. And we'll do that from time to time. I do notice we have a caller. We'll get the caller right after the break. We have the first break coming up in about 1 minute. But yes, also I want to put in a little caveat here, and I'll talk about this again today and in the future, is that we also don't want to get too carried away with anything the mass media cartel is constantly harping about. In a way, these issues take us away from watching what they're doing with COVID and the current and future pandemics. In several respects, these kind of shootings take our mind off of the efforts going on right now as we speak to give the World Health Organization more power through the 75th World Health Assembly by the WHO going on right now in Geneva, Switzerland through May 28th. We have to look out for distraction, diversion things too, where important things are overlooked. We'll be right back.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Every day we roll from town to town. We see another mom and papa just getting shut down. And it's the same five stores everywhere we go. And it's the same damn music on the radio.
Hey, welcome back to Stop the Presses. In that short segment between the first ads and the bottom of the hour, your host Mark Anderson, 27 May 2022. We all got to keep our sense of humor. I just noticed this quote I had scribbled down. Amid all these things that we confront, I was just about to get Don's call in Arizona, and he dropped. Don, if you're listening, you can call back in the second half. I was just getting to you. But Mark Twain wrote this, Ron, "Against the assault of laughter, nothing can stand." And it propounds the idea that humor can serve as a social corrective in American political life. And I think there's some truth to that. We got to keep our sense of humor. And as I was saying before the break, we also have to keep in mind that these things intentionally or semi-intentionally serve as diversions. We get these huge emotional issues going on, and then we take our eye off of Pfizer. We take our eye off of more and more jabs, more and more alleged variants, new pandemics, as the globalists who are at the 75th World Health Assembly of the WHO are constantly invoking. The Federal Reserve System. All the things that are ongoing sources of tyranny and control and the degradation of our lives. Let's not forget those. There's these events like the Uvalde reported shooting. There's all these other events. But remember these long-term issues, especially COVID. Look what happened to our country and the world then when COVID came into the fore. So we don't want ourselves to be always talking about what the mass media cocktail is talking about, even though we can add something to it and try and knock the train off its tracks, as it were, but not spend so much time with it that we end up taking our eye off of other long-term issues that have always mattered and will always matter.
Well, that's
very important.
Yes, I think these mass shootings, though, are an ongoing conspiracy to disarm the American people.
Well, they've become that, yes.
Yes, it's just, and this Uvalde thing is just an extension of it. It's just one more of these. These other ones they had in Buffalo and Sandy Hook and a whole bunch of these. They're all part of the same thing. That's the one thing they have in common, is the goal to disarm the American people. And if we take the goal away from that, where they cannot achieve their goal through that means, I believe that those events will dry up and blow away because there's no purpose on earth for it.
Correct. That's why, in as much as we want to be and should be to some extent Columbos and Sherlock Holmes, because sometimes you have to come at these things from more than one direction. Yes, if that's the one constant in these shootings, which have some have similarities, like some will have the alleged shooter having written a manifesto, and another one will have a manifesto, but they don't all. Some will have the alleged shooter being shot dead by police. Some will say he was captured, and some will say that the shooter shot himself, suicided. So you'll have the variations, but yes, the one constant is the call, clarion calls, for civilian disarmament. It's not gun control. Don't use the words gun control. Say it for what it is, civilian disarmament.
Absolutely.
And
what would people think, Mark, if after every one of these shootings, there was a claim was made, we need to buy a pineapple from Panama. If you heard that every time the president come on and say, you know, if we don't start buying pineapple from Panama, this is just going to continue. Well, people would say, you know, the purpose of these shootings is to buy pineapple from Panama. That's what this is about.
Well, right.
You mean we can't make the connection that this is about disarmament of the American people, because that's what we hear instantly as the thing, the bullet, the shells haven't even hit the floor yet. And they're still bouncing on the floor, and we're talking about disarmament of the American people. The way to protect little elementary schools is to make the whole country as disarmed as a little elementary school. None of that makes sense.
Right, and we remember some practical things from a few years back, Ron. The former state legislator in Texas, Jason Biaba, I believe he's an attorney. He's a Democrat in the Dallas area, and he spoke about that the school resource officers, these school ISD cops that are on the grounds, aren't good enough, and that you could have school marshals. Now, there might have been small questions about the idea, but simply to have a competent armed guard or two at each entrance of a school or any large place where people are gathered, hospitals, retirement homes, is just a good practical thing to do.
Yes, and it's not against the law. It's not against the law to do that. But it is against the law to disarm the American people.
Right, and we'll get into the civics in the second half, but here's a little foreshadowing. We're kind of, and there it is. Okay, we'll talk about some of these larger questions when we come back. Thank you.
All right.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. It's the 27th of May, 2022. I'm going to ask the board ops, is Pete Pappas with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, Pete. As I mentioned earlier in the show, and I meant to announce it again, but I got a little carried away. Shame on me. Pete Pappas, a.k.a. Pete Papa Heracles, a longtime AFP colleague, is with us again. He was with us a little while back this year. How you doing today, Pete?
I'm doing just fine, Mark.
Great. I think you're coming to us from Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. At any rate,
that's correct.
I don't know if you listened to the show from RBN that we did just this past Wednesday that you got the link from before. I know you're a busy guy. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But at any rate, this Uvalde shooting, while many of the shootings end up calling quite quickly for civilian disarmament, I haven't seen the calls for civilian disarmament this loud and this persistent in a long time. I don't know what you're hearing in your neck of the woods, Pete. I know one thing Ron and I have discussed is that even though there's a pecking order and a lot of cops are lower on the totem pole and they have to follow orders, it seems like police don't even work for the people anymore. They just operate as sort of a culture onto themselves, and we see that in Uvalde, where apparently they allowed the alleged shooter, and we have to, you know, accept a lot when we believe the conventional narrative about these things. It's a leap of faith, but they supposedly allowed the alleged shooter to work his will in a single classroom, we're told, and kill 19 people or 21 people, 19 kids and two adults, we're told, while keeping everyone out, but the cops didn't go in themselves. And the cops actually, in reality, are just an extension of the right of people to their self-defense. And if they fail to take action, then that authority reverts back to the people. Now, that's a kind of civics, if you will, political science statement. But what are your mm-hmm. thoughts on this, Pete?
On which part? On the
police behavior and then the event in general.
You know, I haven't followed it as closely because I've kind of become a little bit cynical with these mass shootings because none of them seem to add up. The facts make no sense. Usually they're conflicting. So it's just kind of like more of the same, you know. Now we had two like back-to-back. One of them they claim it was a racist. This one, I don't know, some other evil white person or something, although the person is Hispanic, but they don't really mention that, do they? So I don't know, you know, like I said, I don't follow it as closely, but as much as I have looked at it, it's very reminiscent of Sandy Hook, you know, 19 children and the adults, and the guy dies afterwards, so there's nothing to say, you know, there's no investigation like that. So it's very, very similar.
Yeah, indeed. Extremely ambiguous events with unbelievable or unexplainable details are being used to disarm the American people, or at least call for the disarmament of the American people. How paradoxical that is, right? The dust hasn't settled. Like Ron said before the break, the bullets, these spent shells have barely had time to hit the floor. We don't know hardly any solid facts. The facts keep changing. For instance, they said there was a school resource officer that reportedly was there when the alleged gunman entered the building. But then all of a sudden, the state of Texas says there was no school resource officer there at all, even though the governor mm-hmm. said there was during a press conference. So even the governor during a press conference says one thing that turns out to be not true. And look at all these unexplainable, inexplicable things, unbelievable things, unsubstantiated things, and we're supposed to be corralled into gutting the Second Amendment for something that makes no sense at all. And as you say, it's just another in a series, you know? So,
yeah, and they seem to have these emotional trigger stories that are similar in many of these. Like with Sandy Hook, they were making reference to the teacher and how the teacher was really helpful in trying to, you know, protect the kid. But the teacher got shot, you know. So she kind of is touted as the hero that sacrificed her life for the children and, you know, these kind of things. So, supposedly the child that did something to, I forget the detail where the teacher was involved. One of the children survived, but the teacher died, but the child supposedly lived to, or the student, whatever, young person, lived to, tell this heart-rending story of how the student was shot, you know.
Now, when you're saying one of the students survived and told the story, are you talking about Sandy Hook?
No, here, on this one.
Okay. I just wanted to double-check.
Yeah, but in Sandy Hook, it was the same thing with the one of the teachers that was killed, and they made a big deal about her, and her sister was one of the crisis actors involved, and they kept showing videos, past videos of this alleged teacher in Sandy Hook that, hugging the kids and interacting with them in a motherly way. And they kept playing it over and over. And, the sister was crying because the devoted teacher sister of hers was killed in such a tragic manner. You know, so my point is they seem to work on the heartstrings, and a lot of these similar alleged details about the stories seem like they're intended to just get people emotionally riled up about the children and the teachers and all the dead people, you know.
Yeah, and naturally, there's sympathy for any real events where that happens, and no one is discounting, no one on this show, no one on RBN is discounting people going through real tragedy and suffering these sorts of things. It's not a lack of sympathy. It's not a lack of empathy. But what there is a boatload of emotion, but almost no real reliable information. So therefore, we rely strictly on emotionalism without knowing what happened. And then we're taken away from the idea of investigating more deeply and sorting out the contradictory things that we're given. And as I said Wednesday, asking questions does not make you a conspiracy theorist. Asking questions is a Columbo thing. Wait, one more thing. How can it be, if it was this, how can it be like that? Or Sherlock Holmes would ask similar questions. Investigating and asking questions and asking why things don't make sense does not make you a conspiracy theorist. It does not make you a bad person. It does not mean you don't care about people who may have died. It never has meant that. It never will mean that. Those listening live and on the archive, those that might not be used to this kind of narrative who are hearing this, just please understand that. It's not a lack of sympathy. It's not a lack of empathy. It's a lack of reliable information. And the person who's asking questions about the lack of reliable information is not the villain. The problem is with those that are telling unbelievable, hard to verify, unverifiable, etc., so-called facts. And then, as Ron says, taking all this incomplete info and then making this clarion call for disarmament as if we know exactly what happened when we don't know exactly what happened. But Ron, I got a couple things that are conflicting here. You've got your hand up, and I think we still have Laura from Michigan. Laura, are you with us still? The caller?
Hi, Mark and Ron. I just wanted to mention, you know, when the shooting happened at Oxford High School in Michigan, we found out that the Oakland County Sheriff has given orders to all his deputies. When they get an active shooter call, whoever's there, go right to the shooter. You don't wait for backup or anything. You go right to the shooter, and that will help stop a lot of this, you know? You just go, not stand around and worry about the parents trying to get in. Yeah, this is exactly a part of the problem here.
Yeah, let me ask you, Laura, that's in Oakland County. Did you say the name of the school? Did I catch it?
Oxford High School.
Spell that, would you?
O-X-F-O-R-D.
Oh, Oxford.
Yeah.
Oxford High.
That crumbly, crumbly kid.
Oakland County, Michigan. Oxford. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to look that up.
Oakland County. Huh? Oakland County Sheriff is very good.
That's great. Anything to add? I see what you're saying, that there they didn't say we got to wait for SWAT. I don't know what this emphasis or this fixation on waiting for SWAT is. You're talking about a single 18-year-old who just bought the firearms, we're told. He just turned 18. How much time did he have to even find out how they worked, let alone have target practice? Round about zero, okay? So all these trained cops who train on their marksmanship all the time, all the best weapons, all the authority they need to go take care of business, you know, where's Inspector Callahan, a.k.a. Dirty Harry? Me, Smith, and Wesson say, you ain't leaving this building, boy, okay? And I don't mean to sound too cowboyish about it, but I'm sorry, once in a while you need Callahan, okay?
I'm surprised we're not having more shootings. We got this open border and letting in all these people coming in from lawless countries, you know? They're so lawless, and we're letting them in here. It's making it worse.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that Uvalde is about 75 miles from the border, and there were initial reports, however sketchy they may have been, I understand that Ramos may have been an illegal alien who very recently crossed the border, and I'm not seeing any of that now, but one thing they've stuck with in their narrative is that he was taken out by either an on-duty or off-duty person who does still work for the Border Patrol or used to. And Border Patrol was there along with federales, along with state local cops. What's the Border Patrol doing there? I just asked the question.
Right. I got a question for you. Are you going to station people in that town, make sure that there are funerals and there's obituaries for all the children?
Well, this is a fair question. Yeah, that would be a good thing. I did order, for the record, 2 copies of the local paper, and I'm going to get more. It's called the Uvalde News Leader, and I'm having those sent in the mail to me, hard copy, and I'm going to look for those very things, among other things.
You know, I have a problem. I have a problem, too, with when you see the parents after one of these, like in Sandy Hook. They go on this international drive for disarmament as opposed to clear decisive records about what happened. The record of what happened at Sandy Hook is unintelligible. It's totally useless. It's 700 pages of worthless information, data clock. Doesn't tell you hardly anything about it. Why wouldn't parents also be very demanding about where's the police reports on this stuff? Why don't we see this? Why don't we see real accurate accountings of who was found where? And real descriptions of the event? There isn't any of that. Sandy Hook is totally devoid of that. They have one little lousy map, little map of the school, totally unintelligible. You can't tell who was where. It's all redacted. It's worthless. And this is what we're going to get out of Uvalde. It'll be a worthless pile of trash.
Was there any ambulances, helicopters, anything to take the children away? For help?
Of that either.
I think it
was very similar to Sandy Hook. No EMS.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
No ambulances, all of that stuff. Yeah.
We should have seen that.
I'm going to interject that we're going to let Pete comment a little more. And thanks for the call, Laura. I've got 2 other callers besides having Pete on the line. Thanks for your valuable contribution. The perils and timelines and deadlines of live radio. But I have not independently, a quick comment, looked at various photos of the scene to see what rescue units may have been there. So I'm going to call neutral on that one. I need to see a lot of photographs, and because these questions lead to places where some people would really get upset about us even asking these questions. Be that as it may, I want to look at more photos. I don't want to speak out of turn. And I'm going to mention real quick, we're going to get right to the other people, starting with Pete, that right here in Donna, Texas, over the last couple of days, they supposedly thwarted a school shooting where they found a kill list, a name with a piece of paper with names of people that supposedly would be targeted, and they reportedly found an AK-47 at a student's home. Donna is a border town in Hidalgo County, South Texas, deep South Texas. Near the port of entry of Nuevo Progreso, Las Flores, Mexico. Also the Donna International Bridge. So that being said, I'm going to try and get a police report on that too. I'm working on that. Now, Pete, I do have a couple callers, but maybe you have some other thoughts to share.
Well, I thought the callers made some interesting points about, you know, checking if there were ambulances that showed up and police reports and the obituaries. You know, in Sandy Hook, all that stuff came back upside down. There was no record, official record of anybody getting killed that day by the FBI, and there was no death certificate. The funeral, the caskets, they were all closed caskets. And if you question that and you say, well, how do I know there's not like a box of rocks inside the casket instead of a person, you know? Why aren't you showing me the person? Oh, you know, they were so badly mutilated that their faces were just unrecognizable, and they couldn't even fix them up. The coroner or the funeral embalmer or whatever couldn't fix them up even. to show them for the funeral, so they were closed caskets. Well, that's nice, but that there's no verification that there was a person in there. I mean, that is the fact. You can play the emotional stuff, but we don't know what was in this casket or if anybody died. But there's so many dimensions to what degree that they lie, from either the killer was maybe hypnotized or some kind of a MK Ultra product, to nothing even happened at all and the whole thing is completely made up. Or they had a drill a month earlier and they took footage from that drill and they use it as real footage for now. I mean, with Sandy Hook, the footage that Anderson Cooper was showing of the cops going into the school wasn't even the Sandy Hook school. It was the Lady of Lima or whatever it was called, some school like a few miles away. You know, when you check the architecture of the building that they were showing in the footage, it wasn't even the same school that they were showing. So there's the average person can't accept that they could lie to that extent. And I think that's where we're handicapped into calling this what it is, because people then feel guilty for, maybe feel appearing disrespectful to the parents and the victims and this and that, and they don't say anything, you know?
Yeah, it is a deep rabbit hole, and we'd all like to think that it doesn't go that deep. And we're not saying, at least I'm not saying for the record, that Uvalde was faked. But what I will say is that I don't have enough reliable information to know what happened. If you don't have enough information, then the only honest response is you don't know what happened. And if you don't know what happened, it could be any number of things that actually did happen. That's why there has to be a real inquiry, and that's why appeals to pure emotionalism will take you away from that real inquiry. But as Ron says, whatever may happen, exaggeration, faked, a real shooting by an MK Ultra guy, or whatever the case might be, the goal is always disarmament, so ultimately we don't want them to achieve their goal, irrespective of what may have happened. But anyway, Pete, thanks for chiming in today. I do need to get to a couple of callers, and I apologize for taking so long. Maybe they're both still with us. I hope they are. In the order received, James from Vancouver, are you still with us?
Yeah, good afternoon. I think the word you're looking for is paramilitary. The cops have become paramilitary. It's been going on since the 60s, and what you have there is in that Texas shooting is a standard op to take away the Second Amendment. And as far as the police are concerned, cops got shotguns, and an AR-15 might be great, but it's nothing against cops who know how to use shotguns, okay? It's easy to clear a building out with shotguns, and so I don't know what the police were doing. That's my comments there.
Yeah, most appreciated, James. Thanks. And now we have Mitch from New Mexico.
Hello, this is Mitch from New Mexico.
Hello there. How's it going? Thanks for calling.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question. Who runs the police force across America?
Who runs the police force across America?
Yes.
That's done, I guess, in local areas. That's local area control of police, local police.
Or
yeah,
should
but,
be.
Yeah, I know. But they should be under a elected sheriff or marshal, not some chief of police. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know exactly what you mean, but keep going.
Okay, now, when I said who runs the police force across America, that's the Mossad. You remember that?
Oh,
you ever heard of Mark Cornsey?
Yes.
He's a friend of mine. He's
okay.
Been posting this on Facebook so many times until he got banned off of Facebook.
Okay.
But now, Mayor Sandy Hook was a Hazardous Materials Site. That was due to be shut down, tore down.
I've heard that claim.
Yeah, but there was a lot of help. You know, materials. I mean, they had some stuff. Government agencies already investigated that, and they said that was true, but now they're trying to CYA it. That's what's bad. Jim Fetzer was right what he's saying about what happened there.
Yeah, he does have some interesting insights, some of which I'm not as familiar with as I perhaps I should be. What you let me comment briefly. What you said about the Mossad, I cannot, from my own base of knowledge and research, say categorically that the Mossad is in charge of American police in a umbrella fashion. But I do know that some U.S. police agencies, some pretty large ones, municipal, state police units, have had Mossad training.
That's right. Hey.
I believe some of them have went to Israel, and I think some Mossad units have come here. I am not well informed on that, but I do know that it's true.
They talk to Mark Carney about that. He could probably answer more of it if you hold him.
I don't exactly know how to get a hold of him, but I'll keep that in mind. I don't know the extent of the Mossad training, how frequent it is. But I believe at police conferences, expos, where they have exhibit floors and conferences, police that go there for speaking engagements, I believe the Mossad have been a presence at some of these conferences of the National Association of Chiefs of Police and things like that. But thanks. I think you said your name was Mitch or Mick. I didn't quite catch it. Thanks, Mick. Thanks for calling from New Mexico. We're running out of time today.
Yeah.
Time flies in live radio, but thanks for your input. Always appreciate it.
Yeah.
And thank you, the other callers, James from Vancouver and Laura from Michigan, and, of course, Pete for calling in. Ron, thanks for joining me again. And, ladies and gentlemen, remember that the outcome of this that is being sought is what matters the most. We can allow the Second Amendment and along the way, the First Amendment to be overturned. They were the first two amendments to the Constitution in the Bill of Rights for a reason. They're our most important ones, and that's why the tyrants would go after those first two. So keep that in mind. We'll see you next time on RBN. Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend, and stay safe on the roads out there. Stay free.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.